T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, it's C-Sparky, 5:55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Time. I was broadcast live from the Wendy Studios. After each and every Milwaukee Bucks victory, get yourself a free Frosty at participating Wisconsin Wendy's within 24 hours of a Bucks victory. Time to switch gears. We've been talking Packers, Badger football, Bucks basketball, Panther basketball, Marquette basketball. Time now to switch gears back to Brewers baseball with former Brewers pitcher Tim Diller, of course, Bally Sports Wisconsin analyst as well, host of Brewers Unfiltered, him, Adam McKelvey, and Brad Ford throughout the baseball season. A busy offseason for the Milwaukee Brewers, maybe not as far as signing free agents, but making a couple deals here to get Jesse Winker and William Contreras. Your thoughts on both of those deals and what it means for this Brewers baseball team?
Wow, you're hitting me with the good stuff right out of the gate. I appreciate it. You know what? The Winker thing, I think, is going to be awesome. I mean, if he can even gather a little bit of what he was doing for the Reds a couple years ago, I think he's going to fit right in, too. And, you know, you lose McCutchen, and McCutchen did a lot of great things. He kind of filled in for that DH role, and I feel like Winker can do that, regardless if he's able to play the field or not. You know, well, that'd probably just be a bonus. But, you know, if he's a DH man, then there you go. And Contreras, you got to have good catching, right? You got to have good production there. It's kind of gone a back seat, right? They don't care anymore. Almost like, hey, if you can catch and make a pitcher look good, then you'll have a job. But you know what? The Brewers, they need some hitting from there. So I think it's a smart move. And plus, you got Caratini locked up, right? Didn't
right.
They just go to arbitration
yep.
with him. So like that right there, your catchers are set. And then, you know, you got your pitching staff. They're going to start signing all these guys here pretty soon, I bet. So I don't know. It's shaping up. It looks good.
All right, let's talk about the bullpen for the Milwaukee Brewers, because that's kind of my concern. They have arms, yes. They have arms that can throw the ball really fast, yes. But there's a part of me that's a little bit nervous about those seventh and eighth inning slots leading up to Devin Williams next year. And you just wonder whether or not, with a couple of veteran guys out there, like Will Smith, a former pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, that would make sense. Aroldis Chapman's 100 years old, but he's still sitting out there too. There's a couple of guys out there that maybe you could take a flyer on for a year. They've not shown the willingness to spend money in free agency, but I really like the idea of bringing Smith in, a lefty, to pitch that eighth inning in front of Williams in the ninth.
Yeah, I don't know exactly who's left out there and what the Brewers are thinking. You know, if any, they've proved over and over again, they can take someone that's not on the radar and then make them an elite pitcher. They did that. I mean, that Boxberger renewed his career with the
yep.
Brewers, you know, and had those high leverage roles. Kind of surprised they didn't just fork out like, what was it, $500,000 or something just to keep him. I felt like that probably would have been a good thing, but you still got Matt Bush. He was, you know, maybe didn't have the best time when he was with the Brewers, but he was fantastic. Look at his numbers for the season. Cousins, I mean, there's a lot of wiggle room there. You don't really know who your starters are going to be. So maybe one of those premier starters may fall into the bullpen. Who knows if it's, you know, Aaron Ashby or somebody like that. But they got Peter Strzelecki. He showed out last year. Of course, Devin Williams. And you start from the back and move forward. And guys, you know, if they don't go pick up a big name for that seventh, eighth role, that's going to be huge for the guys going in spring training, because they know it's up for grabs. And that's what, as a pitcher, that's what you want. You want to know that, you know what, it's going to be me and a couple other guys going for this one spot. That makes everyone better.
So if your counsel and the coaching staff if you have in your mind that, you know, whoever doesn't make the five-man rotation is going to end up in the bullpen and very well may end up at the back of the bullpen, is that something you tell these guys, or would you prefer them kind of have their mind made up if they have a kind of an inkling that they want Ashby to kind of be back there if he struggles in spring, just to make the decision before spring? Because the one thing I think I don't want is I don't want somebody hopping back and forth between the starting rotation and the bullpen throughout the year.
Well, if you can avoid that, that's actually very smart. It's an extremely tough thing to do, to bounce back and forth. And hopefully they can put together a squad that's not the case. But picking up Wade Miley, you start doing the numbers. They sign Hauser. Of course, Woodruff, Burns, Eric Lauer has been phenomenal. So then you start going, all right, well, who's going where? Freddie Peralta. You know, you can't have eight starters. And I know what right. they're doing. They're trying to overload it, and just in case they have to trade somebody, which everyone's going to need a starter, right, when it comes out of spring training. Or, you got to have some backups just in case somebody gets hurt or is not ready for opening day. So the Brewers are smart in that regard. What's the fun backfires, they all stay healthy, they all do great in spring, and then you got to make the hard numbers. So I don't want to be told as a pitcher, no pitcher wants to be told, hey, you're going to do both, or hey, you might do both, which is a good heads up. You want them to fight for it. You want them to fight for that starting rotation. If they don't get it, go, all right, you're going to be in the bullpen. And do it to the guys that have done it before. If Ashby ends up being that guy, you may see, you know, maybe a spot start. But if they just put him and said, hey, you're going to pitch every seventh or eighth inning, whatever it is, I think he could be above elite. He has the mindset. He's had a crash course these last few years, and his stuff is absolutely electric.
And I'm with you. I would rather just go into spring training and say, look, Aaron, you're going to be our eighth inning guy. This doesn't mean you're going to be in the bullpen for the rest of your career. But for this year, we want you to be our eighth inning guy. Miley's going to be our fourth. Hauser's going to be our fifth. And we want you to be that guy in front of Devin Williams. I much prefer that than have this thing play out. And then if Ashby does show out in the rotation, now it's Hauser. And with all due respect to Hauser, he doesn't necessarily have the experience as Ashby does in that same situation.
Well, the problem with that is if you start going that direction, he doesn't get the innings built up in spring training. So in case something does happen, right, all of a sudden you're like, okay, well now you're mid-season and you got to build this dude up in the middle of the big league season. Like that's tough to do. I would much rather go, you know, hey, we're going to build you up as a starter. And if that doesn't work out, then maybe you will be in the bullpen. But right now, if I'm one of those, eight guys going for, I want the coach to come in and say, hey, we got five spots, maybe it's six. You guys fight it out. That's just, you don't want to be told that, hey, you're the guy that's on the fence. Like, oh man, I don't want to be on the fence. You know, you want guys to have full faith. And, you know, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen, but you don't let them know your plan if you don't have to. You know, if you give all the confidence to the players, let them just be pouring over with all the confidence you put in these guys, because you're going to get the returns back.
The one thing I thought was going to happen when they traded Colton Wong, I really thought, okay, they're going to get a veteran third baseman to play third base. They're going to move Urias to second base. And, you know, somebody with some pop to play third base, whether that's Turner, even Longoria, who's been hurt a bunch, I know, but at least he would have given you some pop at third base if and when healthy, a vet guy that could come in and play. And that just never happened. They never did anything. And now you look at that infield with second and third base, and it's a complete guessing game, I think, going into spring training as far as who's playing where.
Yeah, but they got guys that can play multiple positions. Brasso can play multiple positions. Toro, he can play multiple positions, but I think you finally have to just say, you know what, Bryce Turing is going to be our guy. I think he's poised and ready. Let him take over second base. You can kind of wing it at third right now if you want to switch out Brasso and Urias and figure out, you know, who's going to be your guy. Maybe Toro comes to the front and he's a switch hitter. So like that kind of stuff, sometimes you have to have one position that's just the switch it out position. And right now, for whatever reason, the last few years, I guess it's kind of been the Brewers. They kind of solidified Urias, but he's, you know, had injuries going back to last year. So I think ideally you don't want to have too many positions that you're always rotating guys. But right now, I mean, with Adames locked up at short, if you put Turing at second, got Telez at first, and, you know, you got two locked up catchers, then you're just rotating third. And to me, that's pretty good. That's pretty solid.
Tim, I want to get into a little bit before we wrap this up about news coming out from the minors that in AAA this year, they are going to go to this automated strike zone. Apparently, half of the league is going to go to true automated strike zone every pitch of every game. That's how it's going to be all year. Then the other half of AAA is going to go to more of a challenge system where you can challenge so many strike or ball calls throughout the game. And that apparently has had success in the past in the minor leagues, and the players and coaches both like it. That very well may end up being what ends up coming to Major League Baseball at some point. What do you think about them doing this down at the AAA level?
Well, as soon as I saw that headline, I showed it to my wife, and my wife just said no. No. Because I've always said, if we get robots that are calling the pitches with lasers or whatever they're doing, I would pitch for another 10 years. Because I would throw a curveball away from righties that would nip the very front corner of the plate, like away from a righty, whichever right. way you're looking at the plate. But that right there, I would do it. But the catcher, because the way it curved, me throwing sidearm, the catcher would catch it 2 feet outside. And the umpires would tell me, like, dude, I can't call that. And I'm screaming at them, like, kicking dirt, you know, that's a strike. And they're like, no, I can't call that because the catcher's catching it so far off the plate, you know, that would everybody would get mad. So in some regard, it's going to help some guys. In other regard, I don't think it's going to help. I don't think it's going to help the game, per se. This is coming from a guy that's yelled at a lot of umpires. I think it'll make umpires lazy. Just because if they mess up, they mess up. If not, it takes pressure off and then they're not really paying attention. I don't know. I don't think it's going to work like they think it's going to work. I think in theory, they think it's going to work. Remember a few years ago, they did a play where they did like some sort of rule that you had to show the ball with your hand. This was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. And they instituted this rule. And a guy in right field catches the ball. I think it's with the A's. He hits the wall, falls down, gets up, pulls the ball out of his glove, and goes to throw it and drops it.
Yep.
Right? So all we know about baseball, they're like, oh, yeah, that's a catch. But because of the new rule, the umpire that was in the outfield was like, no, that's not a catch. There were two people on base, and so now you got runners that were thinking, oh, I got to tag. And now they're like, no, we don't have to tag. So you got runners crossing. It was chaos. So they did it for about 2 weeks, and then they just banged the rule. They're like, yeah, it didn't work like we thought. I think this may be one of those type things. They may have the most sophisticated equipment that's going to, you know, digitize and all this stuff and make it do it. But if it slows the game down or if it just doesn't feel right, it's going to irk some players. I don't know. I think the fans, I don't know what they're going to react to. In theory, it looks good, but I believe it's going to be one of those rules that they're like, you know what? Maybe we messed up.
I'd rather have it every pitch of every game. If we're going to do it, I'd rather do it that way than challenges, because challenges are going to slow down the game, because then we got to go to review and all this crap. So either you're going to go all in or you're not going to do it. And you've already got like the I don't know what you got, Bally Sports Tracks, whatever you call it, where you have the little strike zone square there on the TV and it shows you if it's a ball or a strike or whatever the case may be. So really, it's already in play. It's just not being utilized because we want the human element. I get down with the aspect of home plate umpires getting lazy if they're not even calling balls or strikes, because at that point now you're essentially only calling plays at the plate. And that's it, because check swings are going to first or third, so that's all you're really doing at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a slam on the umpires a little bit.
For
you
sure.
Know? And just like last year with all the headsets, you know, you got all these umpires with wires hanging out, and they're just – and then they have to, you know, Milwaukee's reviewing the play, first down. Like, what is going on? Like, you're just – it's like they're trying to make it quicker, and it's having reverse effects. And I think they're going to do the pitch clock as well.
Yes, and, that comes in this
rules.
Year, too. Yep.
So, to me, and minor leagues has already had it. I went to a couple of Sounds games last year, AAA for the Brewers, and I was very surprised on how quick the game was. And I was like, I get it. I love that. You know what? If that's the way the game is, that's great. But that's great in the minor leagues. Do it for, you know, 5 or 10 years so that all the people coming through the minor leagues know to let's get in the box. And let's play the game, get on the mound. You have to get a generation of players that are playing in that environment before they get to the big leagues. Are you telling me you're going to tell Justin Verlander, listen, dude, you need to pitch a little quicker?
Yep.
It's like my whole craft is built for the last 20 years on doing this exact thing, and now you're telling me it's not going to work anymore. I'm still a good pitcher. You're just introducing something else. It's like moving the mound back six inches. You just can't. Guys want the craft. They want the way it's built, and when you start messing with that, it's bad. And so just do it for a generation rather than doing it now with the players that are there. Just gradually move it. And I don't think it's, I don't know. I'm just not a fan. But
so
you know what? I'm not in charge.
You bring up something interesting then. So does that then mean with that pitch clock coming, and obviously I'm assuming they're going to have it in spring training, does that then put more importance maybe for the players to want to play a little bit more in spring training just to get accustomed more to that as far as, especially from a hitter standpoint and probably from a pitching standpoint, to get as many reps as they can prior to the season kicking off?
Yeah, and there's a psychology behind it too. Like, you know, stepping out of the box, clearing the mechanism type stuff, pitchers, if they're not feeling it just right, to step off the mound, kind of, you know, get back locked in. Trevor Hoffman would come to spring training and talk about the mental side and what to do when you're on the mound. And some of the stuff that he, you know, a Hall of Famer, came up with and what worked for him and taught young guys, it can't fly in the minor leagues right now. And it's about to not be able to fly in the big leagues just because you can't disengage the rubber. And then it's like, okay, well, the guy can steal on like the third one, right? Like, unless you pick him off, he automatically gets second base.
Right.
I mean, how are you going to rule that in the rule book? I mean, they're changing a lot of stuff, and I don't think they need to be changing that much right now. They're already changing the shift, and the bases are bigger. Give Ricky Henderson 4.5 inches closer to second base and third base. How many bases would he steal? So I think I know what they're trying to do, but some of these rules are going to be gone probably before April's over.
Man, crazy. He is Tim Dillard. Follow him on Twitter. Always entertaining. At Dim Tillard. Also his website, dimtillard.com. Catch him, of course, on Brewers Unfiltered throughout the season. Him, Adam McKelvey, and Brad Ford. Looking forward to watching you on Bally Sports Wisconsin as well. Thanks so much, Tim, for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully I'm wrong and all this works out, but you never know.
Well, it'll be entertaining to hear your analysis as all hell is breaking loose, at least in April. That'll be fun for sure.
Yep, thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.